looking at 1 Kings chapter 19. And I wanted to go back there and think about a few things and then turn over and read one of the Psalms. It's 1 Kings 19. And the Lord spoke to Elijah on two occasions. And he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And calling Elijah to examine himself. And that's always a good thing. We need to be a people that examine ourselves. Because there is the most powerful force, and Brother Al mentioned this, the most powerful force in the world is deception. And the reason it's so powerful is because deception is deceiving. I mean, you can't see. You don't know when you're deceived necessarily. I mean, if you knew when you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived. So, see, deception is an insidious thing. It gets in, and a man thinks he's right. I mean, he's sure he's right, but deception is that which causes a man to think that he's right, when in reality he's not right. And only the Lord can deliver His people from deception. The Scripture says that the deceptions will be so strong that if it were possible, even the very elect of God would be deceived. And that's not just a future thing. That's usually used as a future tense, so that's going to happen. No, that is happening. That does happen. That is at the present time. The deceptions of the world are set forth in many ways. But while we're concerned about the world around us and all of these various things that are going on in our nation as far as the wickedness and specific wicked stuff that is happening around us, we need to know and understand that that's really not our problem. Amen. Now understand what I mean. The real problem that we have is not because the Pentagon has decided to have Gay Pride Week. Now that's a terrible thing. I mean, that is an evidence of the fact of how far our nation has come in a short period of time to exalt wickedness as being a good thing. But that's not our problem. Not really. Because that can come and go and it'll be over and done with and, you know, maybe it'll increase or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this, that the deceiver and the deceptions are still going to be with us if the Pentagon blows up tomorrow and they don't have Gay Pride Week at the Pentagon. It's not going to matter. Because the deceptions that are dangerous to the children of God are as real regardless of all that stuff. Because there is a way which seemeth right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the Lord said to Elijah, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah had witnessed great and mighty things. There is in men a desire to experience religion in a pleasant way. Is it not? I mean, wouldn't we rather have a pleasant experience than a bad experience? I mean, that's just normal. Anybody that says they wouldn't rather be happy having had a good meal versus hungry is telling you a lie. That they would rather have a cool drink of water than be thirsty. You know, obviously that's just the way that people are. That's the way that we are by nature. And so religion is the thing that men clamor after, and they want pleasant religious experiences. And so it's not unusual that men would be drawn to something that occurred on Mount Carmel. That's a tremendous thing. I go back and read it from time to time, and it's just amazing what the Lord did there. And it really stirred the people up, so much so that they slew the prophets of Baal. Killed them. I mean, they said, "The Lord, He's the God. The Lord, He's the God." But where were they? When the smoke cleared and the nation didn't turn to the Lord, nobody followed the Lord. Now, they was religiously exercised, were they not? And they probably all, when they got home that night, they said, "Man, did you see that? That was really something. The Lord really did something." And it's easy to get caught up, you see, in the ways of religion and think that because we're involved in religion in some fashion that it is beneficial to us. I mean, aren't you better off if you meet with the saints of God and sing some songs and study the Scripture? Aren't you better off? Well, on some levels, I would say that would be true. But sometimes I believe it might be a deception. Because you see, when a man gets to thinking that he's where he's at because of something that he's doing, then he's deceived. Because you see, the work of God is a work that takes place not externally. Now, it affects us externally, but it doesn't take place externally. Now, when I was coming along, as the Lord was opening my eyes to truth and bringing me to Himself, I clamored for religious experiences. I wanted something that, you know, that I could touch and taste and feel, and I'd run over here to see this and knew they'd be doing this, that, and the other, lengthening somebody's leg or you know, folks falling out and all of that stuff. And I was looking for that. And I thought it was something. But you see, just like the Lord spoke to Elijah, and the Scripture says that he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the fire, and he wasn't in the earthquake. But he spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. And he said to Elijah, "Elijah, what doest thou here? Why are you here? What are you doing?" Now you see, this is how the Lord is pleased to come to His people. It's not in an external way. Now, He may demonstrate things in an external fashion from time to time, but that's not the thing. You see, the Lord fed 5,000 people. He fed 7,000 people. But He said to some, He said, "You follow Me for the loaves and the fishes. You follow Me because you saw Me do this. You follow Me because you got fed. You follow Me because of these things." He said, that's not the issue. It's not the issue. It's not important, really. Whether you saw the Lord feed 5,000 or not, He said, "Blessed is the man who, having not seen, believes." Now, it would have been easy to believe that the Lord was the God on Mount Carmel, wouldn't it? And people did. People did. Every time there is an external hubbub, there people get stirred up. I mean, you can stir folks up. But the sad thing is that people have mistaken stirring folks up with the Lord speaking to folks in a still small voice. Now, the Lord may, as a result of stirring somebody up, speak to them in a still small voice. But if they get stirred up and He doesn't speak to them in a still small voice, then it was all for naught insofar as they are concerned. Because, you see, we can't be satisfied with the dregs which eaten the... You know, I've often wondered, why was there 5 baskets full of food left over on one occasion, or 7 basketfuls left on one occasion and 12 basketfuls on another? Why was that? I believe it was just for this reason, because it was the dregs. The Lord was showing it. It's nothing. You know, here's this food left over here. Didn't get eaten. So what? Take it home and eat it. Big deal. What you going to do tomorrow? See, you cannot survive on yesterday's miracle. You can't survive on today's miracle. Because it's not about miracles. It's about a still small voice. It's about meeting with the Lord. See, it's easy for us sometimes to look around us and we see this kind of wickedness and that kind of wickedness, and we say, oh, well, we'd never do that. Do we love one another? Do we esteem one another more highly than ourselves? Do we see the unthankfulness of our own heart? Do we know the true nature of our heart? I had a lady stop by the house the other day handing out these little pamphlets. You've probably got some of them before. And she invited me to a big meeting that they're having down in Gainesville. And she was telling me that it's about, they were, I forget what the exact title of the thing was, something to do with getting your heart right or something like that. And I was pleasant to her. I didn't throw her in a chokehold or something, or, you know, kick her off the property or anything. But I said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And she kind of got the deer in the headlights look. And then she says, well, you know, we'd like for you to come if you can. And so that was the end of that. But, you see, men are looking for experiences. We're looking. See, we come down here sometimes looking for an experience, don't we? I mean, some people say, well, man, that'd be a poor place to come for that. But yet we do nonetheless. But dear brethren, what would it matter if we came down here and we had everything that we desired? I mean, just think one day if everybody showed up maybe in suits and ties and we did everything just like somebody's got in their mind that it needs to be done. The right way, you know. I mean, there is a right way, isn't there? Isn't there a religious right way? Huh? I mean, we want to think there is. The Lord said to the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, He said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him as worship Him in spirit and in truth. What doest thou here, Elijah? Are we here because we think it's a good thing to be? I mean, good place to be? Are we here because we want to set a good example? What are we here? What do us out here, Elijah? May the Lord help us. Elijah saw all these things. And yet, they didn't help him. What good did it do for Elijah? What good did Mount Carmel do for Elijah when he was in a cave worrying about Jezebel and her threats? What good was that to him? It wasn't any good to him, you see. Because he at least understood that that was then and now is now. He saw the prophets of Baal destroyed, but that didn't take away the fact that those that would destroy him were still alive and well. Brethren, those that would deceive the people of God are alive and well. And one of them lives with you. I'm not talking about your wife or your children. If you live by yourself, he lives with you. Every morning he looks at you in the mirror and he'll deceive you. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the Lord and that man that you're looking at there, that man of flesh and blood, he will tell you, well, remember Mount Carmel. Remember the fire and the wind, the earthquake. Remember all of that. Boy, that's impressive. Oh, yes, we're Christians. We're believers. While we've joined the church, while we've made the decision, while they had a revival meeting and we walked down the aisle and we did this and we did that and we did the other, we've got all that taken care of. Somebody told me that one time, you need to get that taken care of. And all my life I've been trying to get it taken care of. But I learned that I can't take care of it. That there's only one who can take care of it. And He already has. And He did it without my participation. When He went to Calvary's cross and He died for sinners. Yes. He's the Savior of sinners. And He saves such as call upon His name. He's a glorious Savior. But you see, He's a very present help in a time of trouble. See, salvation is not about something that we did. It's not about something that we got. It's not about something that we had happened to us one time. But salvation is a present occurrence. You see, the Lord said that if a man eat this bread, he shall live forever. He didn't say if he ate it. He said, if a man eat it. How often do we need to eat the bread of Christ? Every day. You see, we're constantly, by the grace of God, if we belong to Him, we want Him to indwell us, to stir us, to help us. We know we can't make it. He's our strength. He's our help. In Him alone. What doest thou here, Elijah? Where are you at? Where's your heart? Oh, that the Lord might help us. Because I tell you, if he doesn't help us, we're in trouble. Because the deceivers have gone out into the earth, and the Lord told Elijah to anoint a king, to anoint a captain, and to anoint a prophet to take his place. Because you see, everything that you see around you is temporary. Everything. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the thing which is not seen is the one thing that we need. You could see the results of the wind. You could see the results of the fire. You could see the results of the earthquake. But when the Lord spoke in a still small voice, that couldn't be seen, could it? And it doesn't say Elijah saw it. What does it say? It says he heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it is a blessed gift to be able to hear the sweet sound of the gospel. And hearing it to know that it's true. A lot of people, they don't have any particular arguments against the gospel. They wouldn't fight against you for it. But they don't hunger for it. You see, God's people are hungry people. Those whom the Lord is pleased to give the gift of life, they're alive. And they need that which sustains life. And they know that without it, they'll perish. And so they seek it with all that's within them.
Hallelujah.
And they can't. Somebody can't escape that. Because when they look in that mirror and they see that one that's there, they know who their enemy is. He's not the one that did them wrong yesterday or the day before or this, that, and the other. The one who's a problem is themselves. And they say with the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Dear brethren, we have no other hope than that. I don't have any other message to preach to you than that. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's not anything that you will ever do, say, think, or whatever. But it's what Christ does. And He is in the business of meeting with His people. Old Elijah, he was scared. But the Lord was right there with him, wasn't He? He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I think it's basically the same thing that He said to Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? What are you hiding for, Adam? Elijah, where are you at? What are you doing, Elijah? The Lord speaks to His people. He's faithful to His people. He's a constant in the lives of His people. May the Lord help us. Somebody have a question or a comment?